Okay, Parshas Beshalach, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. You may have it so as part of like the end of your Yud Zayin. It begins V'tam v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. It's about a couple paragraphs into Parshas Beshalach. So while you find it, let me just introduce the first couple of psukim. There's 116 psukim in Parshas Beshalach. Okay, a little bigger than last week's parsha. And it begins, Vayhi v'shalach paro asa'am, v'lo nacham Elohim derech eretz plishtim ki karovu. Ki amar Elohim, pen yinochim ma'am bir osim melchama v'shavu Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to figure out, as we're leaving Mitzrayim, and the impression is that we're still quite anxious, and we're afraid to have any conflict on the way. And the Pasuk says, Hashem Kiviyachol said, if Bnei Yisrael get into a war, they're going to get scared and they're going to run back to Mitzrayim. I'd rather be a slave and be alive in Mitzrayim than fight a plishti and get killed. So therefore, says Pasuk Yudches, Vayasev Elohim Esa'am Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf. So Kadosh Baruch Hu led the people through the Midbar towards the Yamsuf. V'chamushim alu Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim chamushim. Rashi says, "Ein chamushim ela mizuyanim." Rashi says, "Chamushim means armed." Okay, but let's see what the Ramban says. Okay, the Ramban on the paragraph, the words "v'tam v'chamushim alu bnei Yisrael." Okay, what page is it? What page is it? Reish Nun Aleph. Okay, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches. Right at the beginning. Find the beginning of Beshalach. It's only a couple paragraphs. V'tam v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. What is the tam? You know, means like, what's the explanation for? What's the perish of? What's the kavana? What's the intention of chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael? Again, the pasuk Beshalach, like Rashi says, is that they were armed. They had weapons. So he writes, Lomar ki afo pi shehei sev Hashem osam derech hamidbar. Nu chav, what's the kasha? Let's just pay attention to Pesukim also. It says what? Hashem took them in a roundabout way, because if they were to encounter the Plishtim and they'd get into a war, what's going to happen? They're going to want to what? Hashem's nervous, they're going to want to go back to Mitzrayim. But then you tell me they've got weapons as if they're ready for a war. So what's going on here? I mean, if we're avoiding the war, why do we need weapons? If we have weapons, so let's go fight. I think that's the question that's bothering the Ramban. Lomar ki afal pi sheheisiv Hashem osam derech hamidbar. Yes, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them by a roundabout route by way of the midbar, hayu yireyim pen yavo aleim plishtim yoshvei ha'arim akrovos lahem. But the bottom line is that even if you take the safer route, right, there were still plishtim in the nearby environs who could maybe come out to attack them. So they wanted to project that they're ready to fight. They're not looking for war, they're trying to avoid war. Dafka Hashem's taking them, and again, this roundabout route to avoid the war, right? But they were still prepared in case there's any on the way immediately out of Mitzrayim, until they get to, I guess, the open roads. There were still enemies lying in an ambush. And therefore, hayu chalutzim kamo ayotzim l'machama. So they were armed, like one prepared to go out to war, even though they're looking to avoid war. It's just an important pashim shot in the pasuk. But then the Ramban mentions another pshat, which we alluded to yesterday, and I'll show you in a second where he continues this idea. V'yesh omrim, and some say, Ibn Ezra brings this, shesiper hakosuv sheyotzu biyad rama v'choshvu lihios geulim. That we said, Bnei Yisrael go out with the yad rama. Again, that phrase is not in this pasuk, right? But knowing that they're going to go out with a certain yad rama, which some understand as what? That they choshu lios gulim. They wanted to consider themselves as free people. V'lo halchu kedmus avadim barchim. They didn't want to give the impression that we're like avadim barchim, like slaves that are fleeing. They wanted to project a certain confidence. Now it's interesting. Well, I'm using the word project. What does that mean, project? Were they actually not confident? Was this like a fake it till you make it kind of moment? I mean, were they avadim barachim? Were they fleeing slaves?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they're fleeing. At this point, Paro says, get out, right? Paro wants them out, so they're running out. But like, they can take their time leaving because their impression, I think, should be that Paro's not chasing after them. So the way that they left, right? Chamushim, they again is more of a metaphorical chamushim. Right? The pashup shot maybe is that they were armed. Why are they armed if they're avoiding the war? Because they're still enemies, baderach, right? But this second yesh omrim is saying that no, it's part of the confidence with which Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Right? They had this feeling of being geulim, of being fully redeemed. Now the truth is, that's interesting because, I mean, there's a lot more redemption to happen. Right? There's a lot, you know, the fact that you're no longer a slave, does that feel, they're still bearing the brunt. I mean, Lamashal, just to make it a little real for us. So the U.S. Army or whatever comes and saves you from a concentration camp. Right? Okay, so you're no longer, maybe, God forbid, being sent to a gas chamber, but you're not necessarily radiating this like excitement of, you're a broken person. So what's the shot here? Klal Yisrael are they're really feeling fully redeemed. They're trying to project that their spirits are strong despite the fact that they've suffered so much. Again, many people after the war, even if you survived, you were mourning your losses. You were a broken person. But Bnei Yisrael wanted, again, to radiate a certain confidence. And maybe they really felt it. Maybe it's not just, trying to project. Maybe it was something they felt. Just to add to this Ramban, turn for a second. I'm just going to jump ahead for 1 second to Yud Dalid Pasuk Hay. The last paragraph of Yud Dalid Pasuk Hay. When Paro finds out that the people have fled, Pasuk Hay says, Vayugad lemelech betzvayim ki barach ha'am. Paro overhears that the people have fled. What do you mean? Paro sent them out. What's the pshat in Parak Yudalit Pasukai? So in the last paragraph, you see where it says, Uvenei Yisrael Yotzim Biad Rama? Vizet tam Uvenei Yisrael Yotzim Biad Rama, which is Pasukhas, Sha'osu Lahem Degel, is what I mentioned yesterday. They went out with banners, with their hands held up high. They made a Degel, they had, Degel Vanes. They had flags and banners, Lisnoses. They marched out of Mitzrayim with great confidence. V'yotzim b'simcha. These are beautiful words. U'v'shirim. They went out with joy. They went out with song. B'tof u'v'chinor. They went out, they didn't sneak out in the middle of the night like a schleppy people. We're sneaking away from their oppressors. They went out with musical instruments. B'tof u'v'chinor. K'demus ha'neg'olim me'avdus l'cheiros. Like a person who's genuinely set free. Loka avodim ha'asidim l'shuv l'avodasam. Not like a person who's off for the weekend and then comes back to the difficult work. Right? V'chol zehu gadlo. But all of this, when the Pasuk says, Paro was informed that the Bnei Yisrael, that they fled, right? What's the pshat? So Ramban, it sounds like he's saying that part of the reason Paro, if you walk out humbly, and you just kind of sneak away, right? Paro is still embarrassed that he was so badly routed by God. Right? But now you go out and you're making a whole public spectacle. Look, we're leaving Mitzrayim, right? Playing instruments, waving flags. Paro's like, that's it. I'm going after them. Right? But again, you see the spirit of Klal Yisrael upon leaving Mitzrayim. However, I think it's the point I want to make that I think is a very important lesson in the Vodas Hashem is that when you defeat your Yetzirah, you have to celebrate. You have to celebrate the victory over Yetzirah. I said to someone yesterday, I said, let me ask you a question. What do you feel more deeply? When you do something right or when you do something wrong? He said, definitely when I do something wrong. I said, isn't that so sad? Isn't that so backwards? Why is it when I do an Avera, I do something I'm not proud of, right? So I'm like, I beat myself up. But like when I come to Shir and I learn the Heilige Ramban, I learn Mesechas Gittin, and I immerse myself in Torah thought for hours every morning like that, like, okay, at best, like, all right, so I did my job. I wasn't a bum who didn't show up this year. Why can't I feel my spiritual success? Why don't I celebrate my victories over the Yetzirah? What, I should celebrate because I didn't do an Avera? Because I didn't do the wrong thing? Yes, you should celebrate because you didn't do the wrong thing. In other words, you have to have a certain confidence, right? It's not just, I'm no longer a slave. Celebrate that. You're not a slave to your Yetzirah? That's good. Celebrate that. Celebrate that victory. Now again, realize sometimes there's value in just being humble because you don't incite the Yetzirah, right? When Bnei Yisrael went out with their flags and their banners and their song, okay, the Yetzirah said, hold on a second, I'm not. You think you can just march out of here? as if nothing happened. So, see, Yetzer goes after you. So sometimes it's good to be a little quiet, you know? The Gemara says, why were the first luchos destroyed? Sorry, the Medrash says it. Why were the first luchos destroyed? The Medrash says because there was too much public fanfare. It was too out in the open. It's good to maintain a low profile. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to like tweet your every cup of coffee. You don't have to post it everything you do. You don't have to display it to the whole world. Tznius. The Medrash says, Ein lecha yafa min atznius. Tznius is not just about skirt length. You know what I'm saying? Tznius is about a way that a person carries himself. So Hashem, when he gave the first luchos, right, the kolos who brought him of Har Sinai, right, and they got smashed right after. The second ones, which were much quieter, so those are the luchos that lasted. Ah, so you'll ask Akasha, so why did Hashem give the first luchos with such public display? If it's not good to, you know, if it's not good to flaunt, look, why did Hashem make the original moments of Kabbalah Satorah such a big spectacle? No, what would you say? Okay, you could say Hashem wanted in a very real way to instill this lesson of tznius. The other possibility is that because Torah is that exciting. Meaning Hashem said, I know there's a downside to this, which is what? That the luchos are going to end up broken. But the world needs to know that Torah is back in Shabbat. That's what Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, said. Torah is a lightning and fireworks show, you know? Torah's got to be at least as big and energetic, lahavdil, as, you know, as the energy in the room at the stadium at the Super Bowl. As big as the crowd at the rock concert. It has to be. But Torah's going to be this, like, little quiet, you know, backroom deal that Hashem gives us his book? No way. Hashem says, I'm going to do it grand, even if it means it's going to get broken. Okay, so we have to balance those lessons. All right, so on the one hand, we have to celebrate victory over the Yetzer Hara. At the same time, B'nai Yisrael, you know, have to realize that maybe that's what brought Paro chasing after them. Okay? Yeah.
How did the word of Chamushim relate to going out with Yad Ramah?
No, so the Chamushim means armed, right?
Yeah.
Again, armed could be like a state of, you know, right? I mean, you can have your guns, you know what I mean? Yeah, they went out with projecting strength. Yeah, that's right. They went out projecting strength. Again, the Pashup Shah Chamushim means they had weaponry. But also was a certain way that they positioned themselves with a confidence. Okay, with a boldness to leave Mitzrayim. And that's important. That's important. We have to go with strength. We can't be schleppy Jews. It's not good to be a schleppy Jew. You have to be a proud and confident Jew. That's how you get out of Mitzrayim. The first piece in Tzidkas HaTzadik, or Tzadik HaKoin of Lublin, it's a Gevalik Torah. It's a tiny little paragraph. The whole Sefer is tiny paragraphs, very deep. So Rav Tzadik writes in the very first piece, in the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik, Rav Tzadik says that when we left Mitzrayim, the original Achilas Karban Pesach was B'chipazon. Right? Last week's Parsha. Staff in your hand, shoes on your feet, belts tied, ready to go, you know, ready to run. But that halacha of chipazon, of eating the Karban Pesach, where the Torah says you have to eat it a certain way, which projects, you know, this speed, this need for speed, is only true for the Pesach Mitzrayim. It's not true for the Pesach Lidoros. In other words, in future generations, you don't have to eat the Karban Pesach with your walking stick in your hand. It was only true for Pesach Mitzrayim. So Tzadok says, when you're first getting out of a certain type of Yetzirah, whatever it is, wherever you're battling, when you're first trying to break free from the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, you have to initially what? You have to go strong and fast. You have to be prepared to, like, you know, to burst through. Once you've had that breakthrough and you're Avodas Hashem, so then you can slow it down. In other words, let's say a person is not so into learning, right? And all of a sudden they start to appreciate Torah. So they get like really into it and they're learning like crazy, like super into it, right? But that's very important to establish that foundation. They have to almost be extreme at the beginning in order to establish that foundation. Then you can be more normal and balanced about it. Then you should be more normal and balanced about it. In other words, the Karban Pesach that we ate throughout the generations doesn't have to be b'chipazon. But to first get out of Mitzrayim, you have to be b'chipazon. You have to be a little more brazen. You have to be a little bit more charged. Right? So that's part, again, that's part of this balance, you know? Sometimes by kind of flaunting my Avodas Hashem, that gives me the chizik that I need. Right? If all my avodas Hashem is private, so then no one ever gives me a compliment. Wow, you're really learning beautifully. Wow, I saw the way you daven. If I do everything bitzina, so then I don't get those compliments. Is it about the compliments? No. But when someone tells me, wow, I see you're really growing as a Ben Torah, it gives me the motivation to want to go further. Okay, so it's an interesting balance. Okay? Okay, let's go to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's go back. Let's turn back the page. Hashem holich lifnehem yoma. Okay, so they're coming out of Mitzrayim, and they're armed. Pasuk Yud Tes, Moshe is taking Yosef's bones. And as they're traveling, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hashem holich lifnehem yomam. Again, Perek Yud Gimel Chaf Aleph. Hashem is holich lifnehem yomam ba'amur anan. Hashem is going ahead of them by day with a amur anan, with a pillar of cloud. Lanchosam haderech, to guide them on the road. V'layla ba'amur esh. Notice that by night it just says with a pillar of fire. It doesn't say Hashem. Look at the first part of the pasuk. Hashem holich lifneihem yomam. Hashem is guiding them by day. Now you can just read it, well, it's a continuation. And a pillar of fire by night is also Hashem. But it doesn't exactly say that. It almost sounds like Hashem is more there by day than by night. So what does that mean? Lalechas yomam balayla concludes the pasuk to guide them day and night. But the name of Hashem seems more attached to the pillar of cloud than to the pillar of fire. What's the pshat? So Ramban says a beautiful pshat. Ramban says, Kvar Amru, it says in the Medrash, Shekol Makum Shenemar Vahashem. Whenever you find the phrase Vahashem and Hashem, and that's what it says in our Pasuk, Vahashem Holich Lifnehem. Whenever you have a prefix added to the name, Vahashem, says the Medrash, you know what that means? Vahashem is Hu Ubeis Dino. Vahashem means Hashem and his Beis Din. Mark, there's an extra copy on the windowsill. If you want to grab it. Vahashem means Hashem and his Beis Din. Hashem is a Beis Din? Yeah, Hashem is angels who, hang out, help him out. Hashem doesn't need anyone's help, but sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates b'chvodu uva'atzmo, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his chevra. So Vahashem, Chazal revealed to us, Vahashem always means Hashem and his Beis Din. Therefore what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu imahem bayom, ubeis dino balayla. Interesting. Hashem would guide them by day, and Hashem's helpers, his malachim, his Beis Din, would take care of guiding Bnei Yisrael balayla, at night. Interesting. What does that mean? Imkain, if that's true, Perush HaKasuv, Shashem Shochin B'Soch HaAnan. So when they were guided by day by the pillar of cloud, Hashem would Shochin, Hashem would dwell, so to speak, His presence would dwell within the cloud. V'holi chulifneim b'yom b'amur anan. U'v'alayla, but at night, Beis Dino Shochin b'amur ha'ish. Kadosh Baruch Hu's fiery angels would, I guess, manifest within the pillar, of fire. L'hayir lahem, to guide them at night. Very interesting. Kitam, like we find in the Pasuk, later in Chumash Bamidbar, Asher ayin ba'ayin nira ata Hashem, va'anoncha omed aleim, uva'omer anon ataholech lefneim yomam, uva'omed le'esh laila. You yourself saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his cloud, guided you by day, and a pillar of fire at night. So the Medrash is picking up, the Ramban is picking up, this word Vahashem implies that Hashem has someone else helping him out. But the implication is, right, that by day it's Hashem, the pillar of cloud is Hashem, and the fire at night is the Beis Din of Hashem, the Malachim, whatever that means. Okay, it's a deep idea. Let's go a step further. Says the Ramban, and this is very, very nice, Ve'isi be'ela shemos rabba. I saw in the Medrash Rabbah on Shemos. Interesting that he calls it Eila Shemos, when it's, he makes such a big deal of it being Ve'ela Shemos. But anyways, I saw in the Medrash Rabbah, in the Medrash on Shemos, Kilo b'chipazon teitzeu, uvimenusa lo seilechun, ki holech lifneichem Hashem. The Navi Yeshaya says, we ran out of Mitzrayim, and I just told you it was necessary at the starting point of the formation of Klali, so we had to run out of Mitzrayim. When you're running from your Yetzirah, you got to start off strong. Did Yosef walk away from Eishes Potiphar? No. Vayanas vayetzei achutza. He ran. You run for your life. So, says the Navi Yeshaya, describing the end of days. Such a beautiful pasuk. Look at the words again. You're not going to have to run. When Mashiach comes, you're not going to have to run. You're not going to have to flee. You're not going to feel like you're being chased. You know why? Because Hashem is going to be guiding you. Hashem. Not Vahashem. No helpers. Just Hashem. Just Hashem. Says the Medrash. Lisha Avar, in the past. Where's in the past? By this, by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lisha Avar Aniu Beis Dini Hayisi Mahalich Lefnechem. In the past, Hashem said, it was me and my Beis Din. It wasn't just me. Shenamar Vahashem Holich Lefnechem Yomam. Vahashem means Hashem and his Beis Din. Hashem and his Beis Din took you out day and night. Hashem by day, the Beis Din at night. Aval, look at these words, underline it. It's a big chizik. Aval, la'osid lavo ani levadi. Hashem says, but at the end of days, it's just going to be me. It's just going to be me. Anyone know that line at the end of that Mishnah, the ninth parak of Sota, when it describes the end of days, the ikvus of the Mashiach, all the things that are going to happen? There's going to be all sorts of funny things happening in the world. The government's going to become corrupt. And the monetary systems are going to be out of whack. You know, Bitcoin's going to replace the regular financial institutions. Right? And there's going to be all sorts of strange scandals happening in the world. It's all straight in the Mishnah, the end of Masecha Sota. And how does the Mishnah end? How does the Mishnah end? Ve'ein lanu al milahi she'ein el avinu shvashmayim. There's going to be no one to rely upon except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You won't be able to trust anyone. You won't be able to rely on anyone. The only one who's going to be able to clean up this mess is Hashem himself. Right? The angels are not going to be able to help out. The same way that really, when we first, the first moment of leaving Mitzrayim was just Hashem. Once we're traveling, then Hashem calls in his backup, his helpers. But who took us out of Mitzrayim? We say in the Haggadah, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo saraf, Ani v'lo shliach. Hashem says, I did it myself. Hashem b'chvodo v'atzmo. When he's leading us, though, as we travel further out of Mitzrayim, so it's not just Hashem all the time. We're not worthy of having Hashem guide us directly all the time. But when Mashiach comes, the end of days of Allah said, Lava ani levadi, it's going to be just me. Shenemar ki holech lefnechem Hashem. Because Hashem, not Vahashem, Hashem is going to walk before you. U'ma'asifchem Elokei Yisrael. And Hashem is going to be the one to gather you. And Chavi, you know why that is? This, I love this part. V'soda medrash hazek asher iskarti. You know what the secret of the medrash is? It actually fits perfectly with what we just learned. Who led us by day? Hashem. Who led us at night? The Beis Din, the angels. Hashem is Beis Din. However, what is Mashiach going to be?
It's when, it's used in, I think somewhere in the Bible, but also Tanya, like when Mashiach comes, Hashem's going to take the sun out of its sheath.
Hashem's going to take the sun out of its sheath, right? Excellent, Rav Shneur. Right? It's going to be a time that's what? That's Kulo Yom. Laila. Laila is not just physical darkness, it's night. Laila is a code word for galus. Yom is a code word for day. That's why Mashiach is going to be not just a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, right? But it's going to be a Yom Shekulo Yom. Do you realize that Shabbos is always Yom? Shabbos is always Yom. What do I mean by that? There's no night on Shabbos. No night. What are you saying? Crazy things. What are you talking about? No night on Shabbos. Tzaddikim tell us, you never say good night on Shabbos. You're not supposed to say good night on Shabbos. You know that? Did you ever hear that? You're not supposed to say good night on Shabbos. You say good Shabbos on Shabbos. Right? Because Shabbos is a time that's kulo or, it's kulo yom. We bookend it with light to remind us that. We started with Neros Shabbos, we ended with Havdalah candle. It's kulo, it's all light. In other words, it's all what? In the presence of Hashem. Because when it's yom, it's Hashem himself. At night, in the dark, when Hashem is obscured, we feel like the world is being run by, I don't know, maybe by Hashem's angels, by Hashem's emissaries, by Hashem's helpers. But when we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, when we get to Mashiach, it's going to be a Yom Shekulo Yom. It's going to be daytime all the time. Daytime means clarity. It means vision. It's understanding things. So take a look. Let me just finish the piece, and then I'll take your comment. Ki b'geula harishona haya kadosh baruch hu imam b'yom ubeiz dino imam b'layla. It's such a beautiful piece. Originally, by the original Geula, it was Hashem by day in his Beis Din at night. It's not just that he said, it's the same rules. It's the same rules. Hashem by day and angels by night. It's just that there's no more night. It's all day, so it's all Hashem. Lasilavo tis'ala midas hadin berachimim. There's not going to be a Beis Din anymore here. There's no longer going to be a Beis Din of Hashem. Beis Din means midas hadin. It's going to be a time of kulo rachamim. It's going to be a time, like Rav Schneer said, where the sun is taken out of its sheath. Right? And the enemies of the Jewish people are going to be burnt to a crisp, and the Jewish people are going to be warmed. The weather's always going to be perfect. You're not going to have these cold, snowy days. These dark and cold, snowy days. You're going to have beautiful days all the time. Yes, and even for the Los Angeles Chevra, which is quite a few of you, yes, it's going to be even nicer than perfect weather in Los Angeles, okay? Just to make that clear, you're like, what do you mean? I have that now. I'm from LA. It's always 70 and perfect. Okay, but it's going to be even better. And it's not just going to be in parts of the world. It's going to be the whole world. Midas HaDin is going to be absorbed within Midas HaRachamim. V'yaholich lefneim Hashem HaMiyuchad. And Hashem, the one and only, is going to guide us. Ki Elokei Yisrael Ma'asvam Imo. Hashem is going to gather us all together. And he quotes the Pasuk. V'layla kayom ya'ir kachashecha ka'ora. I love that Pasuk. And night will be transformed into day. And kachashecha Ha'ora. What was like dark is now going to be light. Ki akol b'midas rachamim miyuchadas. It's going to be a time where we always feel the clarity, the light. Right? Everything's going to be, you're not going to have questions on why does Hashem do like this, or why do people suffer, and why this and why that. I feel like I'm in the dark. I'm trying to find my way through this complicated world. Like the Mesilas Yesharim writes in the third parak, very famous third parak of Mesilas Yesharim. What does he say about darkness? Two things happen in the dark, Chavra. In the dark, sometimes if it's really dark, you can't see something. You could trip over it and hurt yourself. That's one type of darkness. There's another type of darkness, which he says is even more scary, which is what? When you think you see something, but you misinterpret it. Where things are blurry. If I don't see something and I fall over it, okay. I should have... It's not my fault. I didn't know it was there. But he says, when you think something is a pillar, and in fact it's a person, or you think something's a person, and in fact it's a pillar, you start to become disoriented and you can't even tell what's what, that's even scarier. He says, it's one thing to not recognize evil, but it's another thing to look at something evil and think it's good. Or to look at something that's good for you and to think that it's bad. To look at mitzvot and see them as burdensome or oppressive when it's the greatest gift that you were ever given. That's really disoriented. Right? When a person's like misinterpreting things, that's a darkness that's very scary. But that's what galus is. Well, this is where we're chasing after our taivas, lo aleinu, right? And we're lazy when it comes to Torah and mitzvos. That's called being in the dark. But when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to guide us directly. We'll have the Rachmanis on us. He'll make it clear for us to see what's good and what's bad. We'll bask in the light. Okay? Mr. Sement, you had a Shaila?
Yeah.
I thought you had your hand up before. Okay. Azriel Tzvi.
All right. I think this is very similar also.
Right. So it's always, the lights are always on. It's saying, this is the place where there's always light. Very nice. It's a place of illumination. Yes, Yonah Eden.
Another thing I learned from the Pasuk is that they're kind of like leaving the past behind and moving forward. Just changing their thoughts and really just going there.
Right. Yeah. Saying good.
Isn't it a little crazy that even after, like right after like a geula in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, there's still choshech, there's still a sense
still
of
choshech, right? Well, like, think about it. We left.
They're only gonna be like geula orbs if it's Mashiach, and that's it. Like even after Yitzhak Mitzrayim Davka, like there's still gonna be light. There's still gonna be darkness. I think that's like the lightest part of it. Think of like Jewish history.
It's gonna take us. I'll tell you what the Satmar Rebbe once said. It's a great line. The Satmar Rebbe said it took 1 second to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, but it took 40 years to get the Mitzrayim out of the Jews. Yeah. To physically walk out of the gates, it was 1 second. Hashem plucked us out of Mitzrayim, but we had to. It took us 40 years in the desert to really. Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot we had absorbed over those years. We were on the 49th level of Tumah when we left Mitzrayim. So getting out of Mitzrayim takes a second, but getting Mitzrayim out of your consciousness, out of your mind, out of your heart, That's a long process. So you're right. But that's the point. It's not, we're not, you know, it's not, yes, we're still somewhat in the dark, even though we're seeing the Yad Hashem as openly as humanity has ever seen it.
It's not even true, though. It's like part of the 40 years was waiting for everyone to die out. It was more about waiting for the next generation.
Interesting. Right. That's interesting, right? It's not even a tikkun for those people, you're saying. That whole generation is...
It's like the next door. Yeah.
Dying out. It's interesting.
I thought, like, Midrashim was like, Geula didn't come, like, until a year after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. They weren't actually... Yitzhak Mitzrayim wasn't actually the real Geula.
What do you mean by that?
What was the Geula?
The Geula, they weren't actually... Until far, so you can go. They didn't leave until a year later.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, the time power said, get out, they stole. Interesting.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of interesting calculations about, you know, the timing of leaving. But it's a process. I mean, just because you walked out the gates and you're projecting, like we learned here, you're projecting a sense of confidence that we're no longer slaves and we're not escaping from our master, right? Even though we're contradicting ourselves because we said you have to kind of run out of Mitzrayim, right? But it's a process to really get power out of your psyche takes time. It's a long avoda. Okay, Chaver, let's go to Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Dalet. Okay, so now Klal Yisrael are out, Baruch Hashem, and all of a sudden, Perek Yud Dalet, in a shocking twist, literally and figuratively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, go tell Bnei Yisrael that they should turn around. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, turn around. Let's go back the other direction. Now, Paro had sent a couple of spies, apparently, with Bnei Yisrael. And the spies come back, and they report to Paro, guess what? Right? Bnei Yisrael are nevuchim. They seem to have lost their way. Right? And it's like, you know, you're like dangling Klal Yisrael in front of Paro, like, listen, it's not too late to get them back. They're having a hard time finding their way out of here. And then, Pasuk Dalet, v'chizakti a slave Paro, v'radaf achareim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you know, this is the plan. Right? This is the plan. Paro is going to find out that we're lost. He's going to think we're lost. Obviously, Moshe, Hashem's talking to Moshe. We're not really lost. This is all just part of my plan. And I'm going to strengthen Paro's heart. And he's going to run after them. And he's going to come with his army. And the point of all of this, says Hashem, is what? In Pasuk Dalet, v'ichavda b'faro. And I will be honored through Paro. Hashem says, I got one last trick up my sleeve. I'm going to put power in place one last time, one last display of my might, one last opportunity for me to receive the honor I rightfully deserve. Okay. So now listen to this. Says the Ramban, "Chizakti a slave power v'radaf achareyem." Hashem says I'm going to strengthen power's heart and almost force him to chase after, because power doesn't want to chase at this point. Ba'avur shepachad paro mehem b'makas habachoros. Paro was so utterly afraid from Akas Bechoros. He had been so put in his place already from Akas Bechoros. And he even asks Moshe and Aaron, you know, have Rachmanis on me, bless me. Give me the strength to survive. So lo haya belibo lirdov achareyem, afilu im yivrachu. So Paro had not a bit of desire in his heart to chase after them, even if they were fleeing, and even if they're lost. Elishayasa Moshe behem kirtzono. At this point, Moshe, you do what you want. Take your people and get out of here. Valkein hutzrach lomar ki hu yechazek eslibo lirdof acharei. So Hashem says, I know last time you saw Paro, you thought he was really done. Moshe, you're right. He really is done. But I'm going to put it in his heart one last time. Total manipulation of his heart to get him to chase after. Okay? Now, Ulamata Amar, just a little bit more, says the Ramban. Ulamata Amar Pam Acheres, it mentions it again a couple of psukim later, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hinini Mechazek a slave Mitzrayim, Vayavo Achareim. And then Hashem is going to once again harden the hearts of those Egyptians who are chasing, that Yavo Achareim, that they're going to come after Bnei Yisrael, they're going to walk into the Yamsuf. Now listen to these words of the Ramban. You want to have an appreciation for Kriyas Yamsuf? Says the Ramban. When the Egyptians saw how the water split precisely on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, and the Jewish people were walking through it on dry land, Says the Ramban, you know how insane you have to be to follow after Bnei Yisrael into the water? You know how crazy that is? Picture the water split in these massive walls of water. I mean, if you haven't been convinced yet, Higia Zma. Eich yimal'eim libam levoach al reyem lahara lahem. I don't know what's out there, but whatever's out there is providing for these people, and you got to be crazy to try to mess with it. Listen to the words. Eich yimal'eim libam. How did they fill their heart? How did they have the confidence? What are they, crazy? To go after them, to try to harm the people whose power is splitting the sea for them? Ve'ein, listen to these words. This is the Ramban's description of Kriyas Yamsuf. Ve'ein bechol hamosim kapella hazeh. Of all the wondrous things that they've seen, in our mind we have to picture Kriyas Yamsuf as the greatest. There was no wonder quite like this wonder. Ve'ein bechol hamosim. Of all the signs and wonders, there was nothing kapella hazeh. I try to picture it a little bit. Try to close your eyes and picture it a little bit, what that must have been like. Ve'zeh be'emes shiga'on lahem. And this was madness. Meshuga, you have to be meshuga. V'zeh be'emes shiga'on lahem. You have to be literally crazy to do such a thing. Aval sikel atzasam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, corrupted their thinking. V'chizek es libam likones bayam. Hashem wanted to drown the Egyptians, so he made them do something crazy. He forced them to think that this was a sane thing to do, and it was utterly insane. But Chaver, I think there's another important lesson here, besides the fact that Ramban is giving us just very powerful words to kind of capture the, you know, the intensity of Kriyas Yamsuf. But there's something else here. We also sometimes, we become, you know, the Gemara says in Masechta Sota, a person doesn't do an Avera, elim ki nichnas bo ruach shtus. How did the Isha Sota, how did this woman come to have an affair? How did this happen? What did she think she was doing? She went with another man? What, is she crazy? How does a person come to do that? The Gemara says, Ein adam over avera. A person doesn't do an avera. Ela im kein nichnas bo ruach shtus. Very beginning of Masechta Sota. It's craziness to do an avera. It's madness. Right? So in this particular scene, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manipulating what? The hearts of the Egyptians to finish them off. I understand that. But it's also important for us to realize that sometimes we also, we're chasing such craziness that we do things which, to a person whose clear thinking is insane. Averas are insane. And yet something gets in our head, some bug gets in our head, that we think that we need this desire, we need this taiva, we need this whatever it is that we're chasing. Again, the famous mashal of Rabbi Nachman, in the Sichas Haran, Rabbi Nachman says, the guy who comes to the marketplace and he gathers a big crowd and he's clutching something in his hand and he says, I have what you're looking for, the thing that you desire. The secret to your happiness is in my hand. Who wants it? And everyone lines up. And he starts running and everyone's chasing after him. You know, like the Pied Piper, everyone's following after him. And he schleps people so far away, drags them far away from their homes, from their families. And they all think, no, but this is what I need to have success. And then I'm sure I'll go home and I'll go back and I'll bring this source of joy. Now I'll be complete. And then I'll be able to get back to all the other things. I know those other things are important, but like I need this is what I need. When I have that, then I'll be happy. And of course, after wasting their time and energy chasing and chasing and chasing, he finally stops and he opens his hand and it's empty. So how many of us, we spend our life, what are we chasing? We're crazy. We're running into the danger. We're racing into the danger. Pause for a second. Ask yourself, does this make any sense? Again, I understand in this scene that's not the pshat. According to the Ramban, because Baruch is manipulating their heart. But we do it to ourselves. Or we let the Yetzirah manipulate us. And then after we do the Aver, after we slow down, we're like, what is wrong with me? Why on earth did I think that was a good idea? It's a spirit of shtus. It's meshugah. Right? In the words of the Ramban, it's shtus. In the words of the Gemara, right? Sota, the word sota means to stray. Shota and sota are very related, right? A shin and a sin, or a samach, even though it's a different letter, right? Phonetically, it's related. Rav Shmuel Hirsch talks about how things that sound alike have a similar meaning. So listot, to stray, and lishtot, to be a shota, you know? The words are related to each other. To be a shota and to be a sota are very similar. Okay, so we should learn the lesson from these foolish Egyptians and not go chasing into the sea. Okay, let's do one last Ramban for today. There's a lot more, many more Geshmak pieces in the parsha. Let's do one more just for today. Let's go to Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph. Okay, so skip over Pasuk Hay. We did the little end of Pasuk Hay. We'll go to Yud and Yud Aleph. Okay, and now all of a sudden Mitzrayim is chasing. And the Jewish people look up and they see the Egyptians. Now, a minute ago, they were projecting this confidence, this excitement, this freedom. And now, just listen to the Pesukim. Mitzrayim's running after. Pasuk Yod, Uparo, I'm just reading from the Chumash. Uparo hikriv. Paro drew himself close to Bnei Yisrael. Vayisu Bnei Yisrael eseinayim. And as Paro was, you know, coming into their field of vision, Bnei Yisrael lift up their eyes. Vihinei Mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, shoot. Mitzrayim, they're back. Mitzrayim noseya achareim. Mitzrayim is chasing after them. Vayiru ma'od. And Bnei Yisrael were so terribly frightened. Rashi says they didn't just see Mitzrayim, the people, but Rashi even says that they saw Ra'usar shel Mitzrayim. They saw the guardian angel of Mitzrayim. They saw, right? Mitzrayim also has a malach that corresponds to it. They saw, they have, you know, heavenly powers on their team as well, chasing after them. And they were so afraid. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. B'nei Yisrael cry out to Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph, I'm just reading the Pasuk. Vayomer al Moshe, Hamebli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim that you slept us here to die? L'kachtanu l'mus b'midbar. Mazos l'sis alanu, Moshe, this is all your fault, lo tzianu b'mitzrayim. However, what's going on in these two Pasukim? Pasuk Yud, they're frightened. They daven. Okay, I get it. Pasuk Yud Aleph, they're blaming Moshe for taking them out. What's going on here? What's happening here? They're blaming God, they're blaming Moshe. They're davening, they do believe, they don't believe. What's going on here? So says the Ramban. Einenu nira. It's hard to imagine. Ki b'nei odam atzoa ki mel Hashem lahoshiyam. It's hard to imagine that the same chevra who immediately pulled out their tehillim, and their tikkun klalis, and their siddurim. It's hard to imagine that the chever who were davening to Hashem to save them, in the same breath, yiv'atu b'yeshua asher asalem. In the same breath, they could act scornfully. Yiv'at means to kick. That they were kicking at the Yeshua. What do you want? You want God to finish the salvation, or you want to complain and say, this was a bad plan, and we're going to die in the midbar? Hard to imagine, says the Ramban. The same people who are davening for Hashem to save them, at the same time are kicking at the Yeshua that Hashem made for them. It would be better had we not been saved. It's hard to imagine. Could a person be a mammon and an eno mammon at the same time? Now, part of us wants to say, yeah, maybe, yeah, why not? A part of them wants to daven and believe, and a part of them is struggling to believe. That's very human. We could imagine that. The Ramban says, but if you read the Pesukim carefully, it sounds like actually there's different types of Jews. As there always are. There's always different feelings in the room. Not everyone connects the same way. Aval anachon shenafarish ki hayu kitos. There were kitos. There were groups. V'akasav yisaper kol masha asur kulam. And the Pesukim are describing what each of the various groups did. Because, chevra, what happens? Again, each of these are, you have to, these are such fundamentals of Torah. I'm so happy we're learning Ramban this year. No? So geschmack. This is Ramban. This is like, this is Yisodos of how to be a Yid. Right? But this, the way he's explaining it is, you have to think also, how do I respond when life gets rough? What do I do when I'm frightened? Do I grab my sitter to daven, or do I start complaining? Do I blame the Gedolim? You know? You blame it on the rabbis. Right? So one group grabs their siddurim and they say, Hashem, please, we know this is part of your master plan. Save us. And one group immediately says, right, the second things get a little bit rough. The same people who probably said, oh, Baruch Hashem, when everything was good. The second Mitzrayim shows up, and now they're threatened, they're frightened. All of a sudden, see, I told you it was better to stay in Mitzrayim. We're going to die now in the wilderness. Ask yourself. You don't have to answer it out loud, but ask yourself, what's my gut reaction? How do I respond when I hear a difficulty, or when I experience a difficulty? Right? Am I angry at God? Do I respond with emunah? There's different groups, and you have to choose what group you want to be a part of. Ki akas ha'achas tzo'akas al Hashem. One group immediately cried out to Hashem. Va'achas, but the other group, right? The other group, macheshes b'nivio, immediately denied Hashem's appointed Navi, i.e. Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'eino modi b'Yeshua nasislam. And they said, what Yeshua? I don't see a Yeshua. I see the Jewish people that were about to be slaughtered. Ve'yomer ki tov lehem shelo hitzilam. Moshe, this is all your fault, right? Which may have just been a subtle way of blaming Hashem. Valzos kosov vayamru al yam biyamsuf. They rebelled by the sea, by the yamsuf. There were groups, there were members of Klal Yisrael who rebelled. Continues the Ramban. Ulakach yachzir kosov b'nei Yisrael. And that's why the pasuk says, b'nei Yisrael. It says, Vayomru b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. B'nei Yisrael, what? Cried out to Hashem. Before that it said, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael eseinayim. B'nei Yisrael lifted their eyes. Why does it keep mentioning b'nei Yisrael? We get it. We know who it's talking about. Because there's lots of different types of b'nei Yisrael. We're all b'nei Yisrael. We're all the descendants of Yaakov. Right? But there's different groups of b'nei Yisrael. It says, b'nei Yisrael pam acheres. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Because there was a group called B'nai Yisrael, the daveners. Ki atovim b'hem, the good Jews, the better Jews among them, tzaku al Hashem, they daven to Hashem. V'hanisharim, but the remnant, the remainder, maru bidvaro, they rebelled against his word. They challenged Moshe Rabbeinu. U'lakach amar achar kach, v'yiru ha'am es Hashem, v'yaminu b'Hashem uv'moshe avdo. Later on it says what? That the Am came to believe, to trust Hashem and to trust in Moshe. Who are the Am? The Am are the members of the crowd who are not the most connected. They're going to be forced to believe as well. They're going to see how Hashem has got it under control. Lo amar vayiru Yisrael es Hashem vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe avdo. It doesn't say vayiru right, Yisrael es Hashem. It says vayiru ha'am. Vayiru ha'am. Who's the Am? What's the difference between calling them Yisrael? Which is the name that Yaakov was given when what? When he defeated Sarah Shal Esav. It's a name of confidence, of victory, of strength. Versus Ha'am. They would call a person Ha'am Ha'aretz. A simpleton, an uneducated person. So later on it says, Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. Even the Am came to recognize Hashem. It doesn't say Vayiru Yisrael, because they already believed in Hashem. Aval Amar Ha'am. Ki B'nei Yisrael Shem Liyachidim. B'nei Yisrael is a term that one earns as an individual when you're loyal to Hashem. Va'am, shem lahamon. Am means the masses, the crowd, right? The tzibur at large. That's why you find vayalonu ha'am. When it comes to complaints, who's complaining? Not the individuals, or individuals were tzaddikim. But, you know, the masses were complaining. The regular folk were complaining. V'kach hizkiru Rabbi Seinu, that's what we find in the Medrash. Vayochel ha'am liznos. The Am began to get involved in immoral activity with Znus. B'chol makom shenemer ha'am, says the Medrash, whenever it says ha'am, lashon gnaihu. It's a lashon of gnai. Whenever it says Yisrael, lishon shevachu. It's a lashon of praise. Ha'am is a critique. Ha'am is pointing out the failures of Klal Yisrael. Yisrael is the strength, the nobility. Sarara means nobility, the nobility of the Jewish people. Okay? So now let's just finish the piece. V'hinei lo amru l'kach tanu lamus b'milchama. It doesn't say, you took us to the wilderness, we're going to die now in battle. Because the truth is, the fact that power is showing up now to slaughter them, or so they imagine, right, is only revealing a more fundamental anxiety that they have, which is what? How on earth are we going to survive in the Midbar? Moshe Rabbeinu, what are we going to do? We're a huge nation. Where's our food supply going to come from? Where's our water supply going to come from? Now, of course, the end of Parshas Peshalach, maybe tomorrow we'll go further in the Ramban, we'll see some really exciting things about the man, right? The man was an incredible gift. It sustained them in a place where they never could have survived without this heavenly food. But when they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you took us to the wilderness to die, right? What they were really saying, says the Ramban, is that it doesn't say, lo amru l'kachtanu l'mus b'mochama. It doesn't say, Moshe, you took us here to die in battle. Aval lekachtanu lamus b'midbar. You took us to die in the wilderness. Umimusenu Bamidbar. It always talks about just dying in the wilderness. You know why? Because even before the battle, they were afraid. Kiterim yiru milchama lo hayu chafetim laseis al Amidbar. There were Jews who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim because at least in Mitzrayim, whatever it is that they're feeding us, it's enough to keep us alive. You're going to schlep us into the Midbar, we're all going to die. Pen yamusu sham berav uvetzama. We're going to die of hunger and thirst. So now, great. Moshe, we were already anxious. We already thought this was a stupid plan. And now look, now Egypt's coming and they're angry and they're going to murder us right here by the Yamsuf. So Vayamru, right? They rebelled by the Yamsuf. Okay? Now, Vayitochin sha'amru lo, kein b'tzeisam, va'odam b'eretz etzrayim. Presumably this group already issued their complaint while they were still in Mitzrayim. Kasher heisev osam elukim derech hamidbar Yamsuf. When Hashem first pointed them in that direction, right? This group has been complaining for a while already. The fact that the Torah is mentioning it here, presumably, this chevra, we have to imagine that they've been vocal throughout. They're not great. They're not really, you know, they're not leaving Mitzrayim with a lot of positivity. Or perhaps they raised the question from the beginning, how should we go? If we go by way of the Plishtim, then at least we're going through a civilized area, we could buy food and drink, but we're going to end up getting into a war with the Plishtim because they don't want us roaming through their towns. But if we go by way of the Midbar, Tov lanu avodas Mitzrayim, musenu b'midbar. If we go to the Midbar, well, we're not going to have to fight anyone, we're going to die of hunger and thirst. So better to stay as avodim in Mitzrayim. So they say, Moshe, what's the plan here? Now, furthermore, listen to this. This is shocking. Ve'efshar od lomar. And you could say even further. Ki hayu ha'am ha'aminim ba'ashem, u'mispal me'lov la'tzilam. Let's say a different shot. Again, the first shot is we have two different groups. We have the groups of daveners, and we have the group of complainers against Moshe. Could it be that they believed in Hashem, but had a distrust of Moshe? Says the Ramban, it's shocking to me. Ramban says yes. It could be they believed in God, but they still weren't sure, who's this Moshe guy? Can you imagine? After a year of Makos, they still don't fully trust whether or not Moshe is the real deal? You could say, they believed in Hashem and davened to Hashem to save them. But they had a doubt in their heart about Moshe. Ready for this? Limshol aleihem. Maybe Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim to rule over us. What? Sorry, what? You ever hear this before? That Moshe at the last minute kidnapped them? And that's why everything's falling apart? They're turning to Hashem to save them not just from power, save me from Moshe? Va'afal pi sheroha osos va'amosim. I mean, duh. Right? Even though they saw what? All the signs and the wonders. Chashu she'aso asam b'derech chachma. Maybe Moshe is just a big magician. Osha Hashem hevi aleim v'makos v'rishas hagayim. Or maybe Hashem allowed Mitzrayim to be beaten up because of what? Because of their wickedness. But maybe if Hashem wanted to save us, ki iu chafetz Hashem v'yitziyasam, lo hayapar rodev achareyam. But you know what the proof is? That Moshe is trying to, you know, kidnap us. Then why is power chasing after us? If Hashem really wanted us to go, then why is power chasing us? And all of a sudden, they're starting to question Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why you have back-to-back psukim. One pasuk, they cried out to Hashem. Next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you trying to sabotage the plan here? Wow, wild. Va'unkelis tirgim bekan va'yitzaku. Unkelis has another pshat. So far we have, again, a pshat that what? There was two different groups, right? Another pshat that perhaps they believed in Hashem, but they were questioning Moshe. Here's a third pshat. Maybe they were complaining to Hashem also. Who says va'yitzaku means that they were davening to Hashem? Says Unkelis, va'yitzaku is uzi'iku. Uzi'iku is more of a lashon of complaining than of davening. Aso inyan taromos. They made it their business to complain. Lomar shelo ispalu. They didn't daven. Aval hayu misramim lefanav al shehotziam mimitzrayim. They weren't davening. They were complaining to Hashem and complaining to Moshe. Kolashon vayitzaku el paro lemar lama saaseh kol avadecha. Like we find elsewhere, Vayitzaku is not a lashon of tefillah, but it's a lashon of whining, of complaining. Or like it says, Vatehi tza'akas ha'am, Uneshem gedola alachem ha'yehudim. Like we find in Sefer Nehemiah, that the people are complaining, they're not davening. Right? Sakas ha'am is the complaints of the people. Yisra'amim aleim b'kol gadol utza'aka, that they're complaining in a loud voice. Okay, so now you have three pshatim. Either there's different groups, some daveners and some complainers. Or perhaps they daven to Hashem and complain because they don't trust Moshe. Or now, maybe they weren't davening at all, they're just complaining and more complaining. Okay, but last but not least, says the Ramban, and we'll conclude with this last little paragraph. Uve Mechilta in the Medrash, we have a final thought. The Medrash says, no, of course they were davening. They were davening. Tafsu lahem umanus avosa. Tafsu means that they grabbed on to the umanus. What's the uman? Uman means, not just a place, not just a Rinachman's gathering place. What's uman?
Craftsmanship.
Craft. They grabbed onto the craft of their forefathers. However, what's the craft of their forefathers?
Tefillah.
What do you do? What do you do when you have a question of what to do? I'll tell you what you do. You daven. They grabbed onto the craft of their forefathers. Vayomru el Moshe, hamebli ein kvar b'mitzrayim. Well, what does that mean? Maybe they really were conflicted. Maybe they davened, but the Yetzer Hara was still making them anxious. Because you know what? It's very, very easy for us to look back and read the story. Parshas B'Shalach. Been hearing the story since I was a little kid. I know how it's going to work out. But make it real for a second. You know how scary it was for these slaves, these Jews? You know how scary it was to see Paro with his Navy SEALs, again, his armed guards chasing after, his trained warriors? Right? So on the one hand, of course they're davening. They're davening to Hashem. And yet at the same time, they're saying to Moshe, I don't know what's going to be. Were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim? Me'achar shenosnu so'or be'isa bo lehem etzel Moshe. What is so'or be'isa?
Leaven in the dough.
Leaven in the dough. And what's the leaven in the dough?
Yeast.
It's like your last name.
Yeah.
You guys know Yekusiel's last name? What's your last name, Yekusiel? Leaven. That's a different leaven. What's the leaven in the dough?
It's
a har in the dough. It's a har in our hearts. Right? It's a phrase that we find in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin. In the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Alexandri, when he would finish davening Shmona Esrei, he used to say a tefillah. He said, Rabbanu Shalom, you know I want to be a good Jew. You know my ratzon is to do your ratzon. But what gets in the way? Sa'or Shebe'isa, the leaven in the dough, and Shibud Malchus, the fact that we're in Golis. What's the leaven in the dough? Rashi says, the Yetzer Hara in my heart. I want to be matzah. I want to be heliga, food of faith. Matzah is the food of faith. I want to be matzah for you, Hashem. But the Yetzer Hara turns me into chametz. The leavening agent which turns the dough into chametz. So, yes, they're davening, but there's a little bit of Yetzer Hara in their hearts. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amru lo, halo zeha davar asher dibarnu elecha. Right? Again, and I think that's very real. I think that what the Medrash is saying is very real. Because when a person goes through difficulties, we pick up our sitter, but we also sometimes feel, I don't know, angry at God. It can be both. Usa'ur shebe'isa huwa yetzahara. He says explicitly, the Usa'ur shebe'isa means the yetzahara in our hearts. V'daitam lo mar, ki mitchila tza'aku el Hashem. Initially, the Jewish people, they daven. Right? You hear someone's diagnosed with an illness, they're not well, everyone wants to daven. But God forbid, what happens when Lavaleno, you hear a worse report after that. You throw down your sitter, you're frustrated. What's the point of my davening? It's not helping. It's very real. So B'nai Yisrael, originally they daven to Hashem. They cry out to Hashem. Ki mitchila tzalku el Hashem. L'seis b'leiv paro l'shu me'achareihem. Right? Initially they daven to Hashem. Hashem, you can still save us. Right? Turn Paro's heart around. Make him go home. Make him chicken out. But when they saw that it wasn't working, they're davening and davening and davening. And Paro's hikriv, like the pasuk says, Paro's getting closer and closer. He's getting closer and closer to attack them. Az amru, lo niskabla tfilaseinu. They put down their siddurim and they said, Hashem doesn't want to listen to our tfilas. And it's at that moment, right, when a Jew starts to think that way, right, that itself is a pesach for the Yetzer Hara. That's an opening for the Yetzer Hara. And now they start to have bad thoughts. And immediately they start to say things that they're going to regret. Lahar achre Moshe, kasher b'tchila. And now they start to what? They're falling back to their old ways of not trusting Moshe Rabbeinu. When of course, it's just their anxiety speaking. It's their Yitzhahara speaking. It's not really what they feel. They have such a karasatov to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it comes out when they get to the other side. The Oz Yashir is what? Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. But sometimes in life, you know, when life's tough, sometimes we're overwhelmed and we end up saying stupid things or having a moment of a loss of faith. But it's not who we are. We have to pick up our siddurim and daven again. All right? Okay, Chevra, I think we'll pause here for today. It's an incredible Yisodas. Okay, Shkoyach.